This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Le Bleu Ultra Pure Water. David, how many bottles of water do you think you drink a day?
Well, actually, I only drink Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew, Strawberry Yoo-Hoo, and the occasional Pepto-Bismol.
Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew? Do they even make that anymore?
Fun fact, no. I have to make my own with McDonald's Sprite, and you guessed it, Texas Pete.
I am genuinely horrified to hear that.
Me too.
You know, unlike other bottled waters, Le Bleu water only has two ingredients, hydrogen and oxygen. Nothing more, nothing less. Le Bleu's award-winning ultra-pure water is the result of their patent-pending five steps beyond Mother Nature process, which eliminates the inorganic materials and creates uniquely pure water, free of contaminants and perfectly balanced and fresh tasting.
And Le Bleu produces only the highest quality, ultra-pure bottled water on the market. You can get them in 1 liter, 1.5 liters, 12 ounces, 20 ounces, or even in the 3 to 5 gallon water coolers. And best of all, Le Bleu Central conveniently delivers this pure refreshment right to your home or office.
That's right. Le Bleu delivers our water coolers right here to Clearview Church every single month like clockwork. And it's not just water. Le Bleu supplies the finest gourmet coffees, teas, and hot chocolates to accommodate every preference in your office. I'm talking Green Mountain, Starbucks, Krispy Kreme, Donut Shop. So whether you're looking for the perfect brew for yourself or for your workplace, Le Bleu has got you covered.
You can visit their website today at MyLeBleu, that's MyLeBleu.com, and use promo code TODAY, that's TODAY, for a 10% discount at checkout. Every single purchase you make using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show and gets you one step closer to the purest, most refreshing water you've ever tasted.
Thank you to Le Bleu for sponsoring this episode. Now let's start the show.
Where's my Mountain Dew?
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you can find us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's reet. That's reet.
That's reet.
That's right.
That is reet.
That's right. You are reet. You are Ryan. And we want you guys to help us keep the conversation going. You can do that by supporting the show. You can help us share it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a couple of links right there in the description so you can do just that.
The verse of the day today is coming to you from 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 9. Then they said to one another, "We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now, therefore, come, let us go up and tell the king's household."
Bro, you got to celebrate the wins, man. You got to celebrate the wins. Yeah. There's a lot of times where, I mean, what do you think we do when we come together to worship? We praise God for who he is, but we also praise him for what he's done in our life. There's one of those songs that I love that just never gets old. The "He's Done Great Things." Mm-hmm. You know that one? Mm-hmm. That's one of the truest statements I've ever heard in my entire life. God has done great things in our lives. So yeah, how can I keep silent about something like that?
Yeah, this is a story from Elisha's life when the Syrians flee before God's people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it moves the people to response. When God does something for you, when God shows up, it's not just like, "Oh, wow, thanks, God."
Oh, hey, appreciate
you go about your life. No, your worship and your response and your gratitude to what God has done in your life can inspire that in other people. That's the example that we ought to be setting as believers.
That's true, 100%. And we want you guys to remain fixed in God's word. The very best way for you guys to be able to do that, number one, is to read the word, but it's made easier with the Date the Word app. They're a partial sponsor of today's show. You can download it for free right now on iPhone or Android. Every single day connects today's date to God's word with the hope of making it more memorable to you.
That's right.
Thank you to Date the Word for sponsoring the show. I had something happen to me today that I hadn't had happen in a long time, mm-hmm. that I didn't realize I hated.
Okay.
I was talking to someone this morning.
Is this Grapevine?
Yeah. It's an unofficial Grapevine. I didn't plan for it to be a Grapevine, but welcome to the Grapevine. Doink. So, okay. There's a lot of people who, like, you can tell they just don't want to be talking to you.
Sure.
Right? But then there's people who are, like, going above and beyond to make sure that we're engaged. I'm actively listening. And what they do is they'll say your name in the conversation to let you know they're tracking with you, but then they do it way too much.
Yeah.
And it feels oddly aggressive.
I understand
like,
that.
Like I don't ever say your name. Like, I don't ever, like, unless I'm trying to get your attention from across the room, like, "Hey, Ryan." But I'm like, "You know, Ryan, let me talk to you about something. I really love the way that you did this, Ryan, over here. And one of the things that I think, are you with me, Ryan? One of the things that I did, like, once you start to hear your name so much, you're like, What is this?
What is the point of this conversation? Yeah.
I had someone just talking to me and they were like, and John, I'm going to tell you something, brother. Blah, 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 blah. This was happening. But anyway, John, man, that was really cool. And I was like, you're putting it in weird places and now I'm kind of weirdly off balance.
Right. Yeah. I'm thrown here. It's a tactic. Like the more you use a person's name in conversation, especially when you meet them for the first time, mm-hmm. it's going to cement it in your head, but it is off-putting for like the person on the receiving end.
Yeah. Especially this is not a stranger. I've known this guy for years and years.
I don't like that.
Like, I mean, even if I'm talking like, hey, what's going on, David? It's good to see you, man. Like, what if I walked in and I was like, good morning, David. Wouldn't you be like, yeah, that's the way you don't like that?
I don't like that.
I come in like, hey, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing? But for me to come in and be like, good morning, Ryan. Good morning, Nicholas.
Yeah, that's weird.
What is this?
Yeah, good morning, John. How you doing today, John?
I just don't. Yeah,
hey, John, I'm going to tell you what. When you walked in the door, John, and you started talking about this, John, I got to tell you. Like,
Can I tell you what it makes me think of? It makes me think of a car salesman.
Yep.
A car salesman trying way too hard.
Yeah. That forced pleasantry, that forced connection.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't like
it. I get people's name wrong on purpose sometimes, just so I don't do that.
Just keep them on their toes. Never let them know your next move.
Yeah, just never let them know. Like, what's going on, Frank? It's like, I'm Julia.
What?
No, just joking. But I mean, I don't know. That's one of my gripes. I don't like it when people use my name too much in conversation.
I'm with you.
It's a little aggressive.
Yeah.
It's a little aggressive. Yeah.
I don't like that. That's weird. Write in, let us know if you ever had that experience or maybe you're one of those perpetrators that you overuse a person's name in conversation.
It doesn't make you look friendly.
If you do, give us the motivation or the reasoning behind why you do that.
It's probably like some, what's that guy? I can't. I'll ask Dr. Sean. Yeah. Dr. Sean knows it.
Write in and let us know, 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this.
Hello, Clearview family. I'm Nicole.
And I'm David.
And we want to talk to you today about the Clearview app.
You know, there are so many churches out there that put their sermons on YouTube and their announcements on Facebook and their prayer list on Periscope.
I didn't even know Periscope was still functional.
Oh, it's not. And that's why nobody can find their church's prayer list and nobody's prayers be getting answered. But here at Clearview, we believe in making our content as accessible as possible.
That's right. Clearview produces so much content every single week, including Dr. Shaw's sermons, original music, a full online store, weekly prayer gatherings, and so much more.
Not to mention the number one best-selling Christian talk show of all time.
I don't know if that's accurate.
Well, maybe not yet, but that's why we want people to download the app.
If you're listening from the Triangle area, we encourage you to check out Clearview Church in person. But if not, you can still follow all of our content on the Clearview app. It's 100% free on the Apple Store and Google Play Store. And best of all of our content is right there in one convenient spot.
Make sure you download the Clearview app today, and let's get back to the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shaw, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we're here live in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abadan Shaw, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. You can find all of his work on his website. That's abadanshaw.com. Dr. Shaw, we were talking about this in the intro today, and I'm going to do something that I never do. Never do. I've worked for Dr. Shaw for 10 years now. Golly, never done this, but I'm going to do it just today.
Okay.
Which is, I'm going to use your first name.
Okay.
Do you find it weird? We talked about this in the intro. Do you find it weird or oddly confrontational when people just use your name in conversation? And I don't mean like Abadan versus Dr. Shaw. If we're talking and I was like, Ryan, take a look at this. That feels odd, right?
Yeah. We were talking about this a little bit. Doesn't that feel odd,
Ryan?
It does feel weird. Yeah. Okay. Now it's starting to feel odd.
That's right. If I was like,
the first one wasn't that bad, but the second one, I was like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, that feels odd, Ryan.
All right. Now,
see
I'm
what
done.
I'm saying?
Now I'm done.
So
three is right out.
You're not going like Abadan Shaw or Abadan versus Dr. Shaw or Pastor Shaw.
No,
you're talking
not
about
that.
Just saying
someone
the name.
Using your name, Abadan.
Yeah, it seems aggressive.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
John, what I'm trying to tell you is
exactly. There's a book. I can't remember the author's name. It's like How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Dale Carnegie.
He says that he's like, use people's names because it's like they know that you care and they know that you're connecting with them. I'm like, I don't like it.
But I think it's more the tone.
Yeah. I guess so.
It's more like, hi, John.
I feel like a used car salesman. Like, yeah. Abaddon, let me tell you what I'm gonna do here, man. It's like, or Ryan. Yeah. Here's what we're going to do, Ryan. Okay. It's like, oh, wow, this guy's my friend.
Yeah.
He's like, Ryan, what you're going to want to do is I'm going to put you down for 0% APR financing. Okay. Yeah. Ryan, you good with that?
A little bit is okay, but that in rapid succession is like, I don't like that.
I hate it. I don't like it when people feel aggressive.
Yeah. And it's also kind of like, almost like you're trying to be too close.
Yes.
And we're not that close.
We're not that close, Abaddon. Yeah. We don't do that.
I have people doing that. People do that to me. Some people do it just to check to see how I will respond to the not saying doctor or not saying pastor. And sometimes it's like, really?
Yeah.
You're testing me? Okay, whatever.
Yeah. So my rule for myself, and I think it's a good rule, is anytime someone's a pastor, you at least give them pastor first name.
Yes. Right.
I don't do Pastor Abaddon. I do Pastor Shaw. And then when you begin Dr. Shaw.
Dr. Shaw.
Yeah. But even in personal relate, like if I'm talking to people, you know, you reference Dr. Shaw, but even if it's just us being friends, you still get Pastor Shaw because you're a pastor.
It all comes down to where people come from. You know, we talked about that at lunch today. It depends on where they come from.
True.
So like in America, if people are coming from, say, more the Massachusetts side of things and more of the Puritan background where it was almost congregational type churches where we're all equal in this and you know, and so you're no better than I am. So there will be a more of the, I'll address you by your name because I'm making a point here.
Yeah. Mm. I got something to prove. I want to let you know.
Yeah. When you get more to the, you know, the Chesapeake Bay colonies type people, the Virginia side or North Carolina, even South Carolina, where they, now South Carolina, you're getting a little bit closer to Georgia at this point, but there is more Anglican type people, so they respect the clergy. Yeah. So they will say, Dr. Shaw, you know, this is Dr. Shaw, or this is Pastor, this is Reverend Shaw. And it's like, so they're keeping a differentiation between laity versus clergy. And I think it's a good thing, but I don't feel superior in that moment. I just feel like, okay, you're respecting the office.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Like it's not a, that the person is holier or separated. It's that
it's a respect thing.
It's the office. Not everybody is a pastor. And so if someone, it's just like not everyone is a doctor. So if you've achieved it, if you've earned it, or if God has placed you there, then you acknowledge it. Right. You recognize it. Even pastors that I don't like or don't agree with, I would still say like that's Pastor John or Pastor Michael or Pastor somebody.
Like if I was in a setting, like if I was reading a paper, then you don't say doctor, whatever. You just say the name and move on. Mm-hmm. But if I was in a setting where I was talking about them and they happened to be there, I wouldn't just say that. Mm-hmm. Even Bart Ehrman, okay? He has a doctorate. He has a PhD from Princeton. I don't agree with him. Mm-hmm. I think his theology is off. I think his agenda is messed up. So, but if he was there and there were students talking, I wouldn't say, but Ehrman says... Mm-hmm. Or Bart says this.
Yeah, well, Bart says,
Bart says this.
I've heard people do that. And I'm like, I don't think you should.
Yeah.
I would say, well, let me tell you this. Where I disagree with Dr. Ehrman is this. Whether he addresses me back the same way or not, that's up to him.
But see, that's a classy response. Like you're still referring to him with that respect. Even though you disagree, even though like, I mean, your positions are on opposing sides. This is Dr. Ehrman.
That's how I am. I just think it's weird. It's somehow the formality of it makes it more, not passive, but makes it less aggressive.
Yeah. But
I don't know what it is.
It's odd to speak that way. But so as you were talking, it made me think of like people who are like, Father God, we just come to you today, Father God. And Father God, that you would, Father God, be in the midst of this, Father God. And Father God, we just, like, God knows you're still talking to him.
I think it's a rhythmic thing. People just, you know, because they don't see God there. So talking to him like we're having a conversation is very difficult. So they get into this rhythmic tone or speech pattern where it seems like, okay, this is prayer. This is what prayer is supposed to sound like.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's okay. I it's different.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know some people who do that.
Yeah. Hey, same.
And that's, I guess, love you.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, it's really great that you, it's really great.
Ryan,
that,
I tell you what, Ryan. John, let me tell you, I really appreciate you brought that up, John.
It's great that you brought up prayer, because that's where we kind of left off on the conversation yesterday.
Well, I did that intentionally.
Oh, very so, nice, man. And I just kind of shined a big spotlight on
you. You did, but that's okay. A little peek behind the curtain.
Because we're talking about rhythms, I think our rhythm is you work really hard to make the bridge organic, and then I shine like the bat signal on it.
Right. Yes. And that's accurate.
Hey, everybody, Ryan just made a segue.
Check out that subtle reference. And then there's a problem because I end up taking the last story and run off with it, and they're like sitting there going, well, is somebody going to chase that dog and bring it back?
Speaking of women who you used to work with that have garlic breath, you know, God gives us a sweet aroma.
Wait a minute.
Oh, you weren't here for that. That was last week. He was talking about a woman that he worked with that. Were here for that.
Oh, yeah.
You were
here
when we talked about the great garlic.
I do remember.
And
that.
I could see in their eyes, like, well, we tried.
Ryan's good at it. I'm not going
to
lie.
His calculation's just spinning, like trying to make things connect.
When you were gone, I think there was one of the episodes where you were gone where I was like, all right, let's jump in. I was like, I got nothing.
So it's funny that you said, and I don't want to take too much time away from the episode, but there's a game that we play in one of our opening segments for our Sunday night youth experience.
Pick It Up and Preach.
It's called Pick It Up and Preach.
Yeah, that's a great one.
So it's a viral game. It's everywhere. It's okay. It's not unique to us. But
it's called what?
Pick It Up and Preach.
Pick It Up and Preach. Mm-hmm.
So they get a random item, and they have 30 seconds to come up with an object lesson.
Like an extempore.
Right, exactly. So here's this pen, right? I'm looking at this pen. You use this pen to write things down, just like God is still writing your story. This pen has ink in it, just like there's chapters left in your story. So God's not done writing your story. Yeah. Trust him to finish.
The coaster
protects the table from the condensation from the mug, much like God protects us from the storms in our lives. The storm's going to come. The condensation's going to fall no matter what. But the coaster is there to protect us.
Yeah.
This cowboy.
Hey, listen, the cowboy.
All right, let's see. The cowboy. So the cowboy is, he's standing strong. He's standing firm. He's a statue. He's resolute. And you know, if we are built up upon the word of God, we're going to be
good.
Firm.
I give up.
That's why he does
firm,
the segues.
Like we're going to be firm, like this cowboy is.
Wow. That's why he does the segues.
That's right. He's the man. Ryan's the man.
They tried to stump me with that on the trip, and I was like knocking him out one after the other. And they were like, "Man, you're really good at that." I was like. Youth ministry for 10 years.
That's right. You got to go with it.
You'll be able to debrief anything.
That's right.
You've heard all the good ones and all the stinky ones.
That's
too.
Right. That's right. But we are talking about prayer today. We began this on yesterday's episode, and it's part of a larger series we've been talking about trying to find God's will for our lives. And yesterday we're talking about, how do we determine how God guides us? How do we look to God for guidance in various seasons in life? So in light of that, Dr. Shaw, what's the encouragement for our listeners today?
Well, yesterday I said, God guides us. Talk to him, pray. Mm-hmm. Today, I want to pick up where I left off, which is when you pray, stop and listen. Mm-hmm. So take a moment, instead of finishing your prayer, Jesus' name I pray, and then run off, or like Rebecca used to say.
G-name pray, man. G-name. Hold on one second. Where's the... I don't have it.
What is it?
That was me. Yeah, so Rebecca is Dr. Shaw's daughter. When she would pray, she would end every prayer, G-nay, pray men, which is in Jesus' name, I pray, amen.
And they're used to saying it so fast.
She would say, thing is, she didn't pray fast.
No.
She would pray normal, like, God, just thank you for this lunch. Thank you for the work that we have to do today. G-nay, pray men. and we finally got to messing with her about it, and she was like,
"What are you saying?"
I was like, "What did you say?" She was like, "I just ended the prayer. G-nay pray men.
G-nay pray men.
I want to get a Clearview Today stay. I want to have merch that's just
G-nay
a
G-nay pray men.
J-E-E-N-A-E. G-nay pray and then men. Yep."
Lots of apostrophes thrown in there.
I don't know. When she was ready to end a prayer, she was ready to end it right then and there.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Gine Preyman.
Gine Preyman, yep.
So before you do the Gine Preyman, I can't even say it right. Yeah. Stop and listen.
That's right.
Yeah, stop and listen.
That's
because
right.
God will answer you. Mm-hmm. And the Sunday after I talked about this, or the weekend after I talked about this, several people came to me and said, it actually works. Mm-hmm. It actually works. You can hear God speaking to you. Mm-hmm. And it's in your spirit. And it's not like, hey, here, if you go down this road and under this tree, you'll find a hidden treasure. It's not like that. Mm-hmm. It's simply confirming his word.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Some promise, some encouragement, some truth, some principle. God confirms it.
That's right.
And reminds you. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to let our listeners, viewers know, that when you take the time to sit and listen, God does speak.
Yep.
Wait, yep. He is speaking. But guidance can also be confirmed through other means. We talked about the Word of God being grounded, mm-hmm. prayer, not just asking, but also listening. Mm-hmm. But then guidance can be confirmed through emotions, circumstances, and mature Christians. Mm-hmm. It can be confirmed.
Right.
Of course, I'm not going to put stuff like dreams in there because some people put dreams in there and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And I've had people ask me that, what do you think about that? You know, I had this dream. I don't negate that and say, oh, no dreams. I'm like, okay, if it does line up with the Word of God mm-hmm. and it does come after God speaks to you, then maybe there's something to that, but it's mm-hmm. just going to be a secondary confirmation.
Yeah. I always found dreams funny. I think we've talked about this off mic before, where like you just imagine God like designing human beings and he's like, what they're going to do is they're going to go for about 12, 16 hours and then they need to lay down and sleep for like 8 hours mm-hmm. and they're just going to vividly hallucinate. Mm. They're going to just see stuff that is not there. And like the angels are like, but it's going to mean something, right? Sometimes.
No.
Not often, but sometimes. Oh. Yes. It's like.
Yeah. I mean, I dreamed last night and I was like somewhere in Iran sharing the gospel. Yeah. And I'm like, no, I'm not ready for that.
You wake up, you're like, I'm buying a plane ticket.
Yeah. I'm not ready for it. And it was not a good situation. It was like I had bad people following me around. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this one guy was like just watching every move. And I was like at this one iconic historical site. And I was trying to take a picture. He's like, I'll take a selfie. And I'm like, okay, you can take the picture. And the whole time I was thinking, like, please don't know. Let no other text message come through that while he's taking the selfie. He'd be like, praying for you, brother, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I'm like, please don't let that happen. And then I woke up. I'm like, yeah. What was that? But guidance can be confirmed through emotions, circumstances, and mature Christians. So let's talk about emotions for a moment. Many times people trust in their own emotions, whether it's good or bad, to discern God's voice, and they will say something like, I have an uneasy feeling about it. Mm. Or they'll say, I have a check in my spirit. If you're, you know, if you're a Christian, you had a check in your spirit. Mm-hmm. or I have a good feeling about it, mm-hmm. or I have peace about it.
Or yeah. if like you just got onto the Death Star for the first time, you gotta say, I have got a bad feeling about this.
Right. Oh, I was gonna say, I have a hiccup in my giddy up.
What?
Let's move on. Hold on one
hiccup
second.
In my like, bruh. I have a bad feeling about it, I have a hiccup in my giddy up.
Bruh.
You ever heard that? Like
no.
Oh, well, no. Maybe that's just me. That's the South Carolina thing. My South Carolina came out. I had a hiccup in my giddy up.
Wow. Mm. I was coming in with a Star Wars reference and now it just, a giddy up. Just absolutely no. didn't.
Like a little
That was kind of crazy. But I've definitely heard I've got a check in my spirit. At that moment, brother, I just felt a check,
in my spirit.
And it's like, wow, I better listen to you.
But the thing is, if you're not grounded in prayer, a word of God, and you're not grounded, you're not praying, and if you're not in those places where God is going to speak to you, what's going to happen is you're going to take that, whatever that, you put a Gmail frame in and send it to me.
I saw it too, but I was going to ignore it.
Give me some scripture.
David sent, so we've got a text thread where we can kind of communicate back and forth during the show. And David sent a graphic that honestly could go in the store. It's praying G-nay hands. Pray men. And it says, G-nay pray men.
So going back to emotions, sometimes Satan will give you emotions as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true.
He'll give you a sense of false joy. He will work on your pride and tell you that you have the gift of discernment. Mm. And I've had that feeling at times, and I've acted on that feeling only to find out that had nothing to do with God. Mm. And you step on it thinking, you have this surge of boldness coming up and this sense of, I got this. Oh, I, Just know at that moment you need to back down and go and pray to God.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because that's how Satan works. When you have this bubbling up over and you just like ready... That's how Satan works.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, I would say to you, that may be the first telltale sign that Satan is giving you that emotion when you have a sense of this confidence come over you. Mm. It's got nothing to do with God.
Yeah, true. That's a great point.
Because he works with pride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But true discernment, that emotion comes, if it's God, it brings a sense of humility. Mm-hmm. It brings a sense of submission to God.
Yep.
it brings a sense of dependence upon him and his power. Mm-hmm. So if that's not happening, and it's you with the radar going, ready to take on the false prophets and take on, maybe it's not nothing to do with God.
Yeah, maybe
buddy.
You need to watch out.
Satan just put a little drop of his poison into you.
Mm-hmm. And you made a good point, too, because you said yesterday on yesterday's episode, what the pastor Baxter, who said your emotions are really shallow and God doesn't like to work there. Satan loves to work there.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's the one place he's going to work. He will work there way more often than God will.
Yeah. And he will get you to feel sorry for yourself or, you know, get you to get angry or fearful or discouraged. Don't make decisions in the middle of good emotions or bad emotions. Mm-hmm. Don't do that.
Good point.
And sometimes people discount emotions completely. And that's not what we're saying here. Emotions are like a flood. Mm-hmm. Okay. Emotions are like a flood. They can either destroy or clean everything. God-sent emotions can actually flood away the crud of life. So when you are in a situation where there is something off between me and you, okay, and we're talking, we have prayed and we have read God's word and we know there's a reconciliation needed, and that sense of emotion comes, and this emotion may have a little bit of nostalgia of our friendship from the past and where we were. Or it may have a sense of humility that, you know, God put us together. Mm-hmm. And it may have a sense of hope for the future, that we are working towards something big. That emotion now comes as a flood, and it washes away that hurt feeling between us.
Good point.
Then we go, you know, hey, look, I'm sorry. That was dumb of me. I don't know why I talked like that. I don't know why I said what I said, but it was foolish. Mm. And at that moment, your emotions begin to match mine because they're also being sent by God. And a sense of humility comes over as well, where it's more of a, you got nothing to apologize. I messed up there because I should have known better. I don't know why I was saying what I said or why I said what I said, but it was, please, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. See, this was not a check in my spirit, or I got a good feeling about it. Mm-hmm. This was more of a God-sent emotion that helped you overcome whatever the enemy was doing, or whatever the sinful world creates, or my selfishness had distorted. It washed it away. It happens a lot in marriage. Mm-hmm. You can sit there and say, "Well, you did this, and I did this. Now let's and I've done that. You've done that. We've all done that."
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it works, but it's never ends up in a good place.
Yeah, right. You're just guaranteed to have that conversation a little again someday.
Right.
Yeah.
But in the word, prayer, those emotions sent by God, if they're really coming from God, they bring a sense of humility. They also bring a sense of empathy that I know where you were coming from. I know you had a rough day and I get it. Or I was having a rough day and I'm sorry. Anyways, you want to go cook something, or you want to go watch a movie, you want to go just relax and talk. What happened there? Those emotions sent by God confirmed that, hey, we need to restore this relationship.
Yeah.
You see, the cheap route of I have a check in my spirit, or I have a bad feeling about it, or a good feeling, those are just poor substitutes that I think many times Satan is behind them.
I think you're 100%
so
right.
So keep that in mind. Circumstances. They can also be used to confirm the will of God, where we learn to connect the dots and see God's handiwork. Mm-hmm. It happened this way, and then God did this, and then God did that. And look how God worked this out.
That's right.
It's not just that, hey, this happened, and that happened, and then I did this, and then this happened. Mm-hmm. It's all about you.
Mm-hmm. It's also seeing the cause of it. I think you're right, because even when you write, like one of the things that we do, like when we write our books, it's never this happened, then this happened, and this happened. Yeah. It's always this happened, therefore this, therefore this. And so you see that God, when you put those dots together, you see how he's worked in the past, then you see he's doing it now, it becomes easier to recognize.
Yeah.
A good test of whether your emotions or circumstances are coming from God is, how do you view God in that discernment process? Or is God even there? Mm-hmm. If it's just you, then I would probably say 99.9% or even 100%, it's the enemy.
Yeah.
Who's manipulating you.
Mm-hmm. That's a good
point. If it leads you to a place of humility and submission to the living, true, triune God, then those emotions can be used. I mean, it comes down to how is God's purpose being fulfilled?
Exactly. I think a lot of times Christians don't want to admit that there's just nonsense sometimes. Some things in our life just don't make sense. You know what I mean? Like it's almost, and maybe not all Christians, but a lot of them, I feel like they're like, well, this has to mean something. Everything in life has to mean something because God wouldn't just give me nonsense dreams.
Yeah.
But I've had nonsense dreams, dude. I have had some really like dreams where I'm like,
yeah, sometimes it's just something you ate and it.
I've had dreams where like all of us were like in Mario Kart, not playing it, but like in it, like really? We're driving the cars for me to wake up and be like, what could this mean?
Yeah.
Watch out for the Donkey Kong and the Wario type people.
Oh, very nice. There's that sound effect. There it is. Very nice. Well done.
Just to say, folks, that it has nothing to do with God's will.
Yeah. Very much
It's
so.
Just that John was up late playing
Mario Kart. Mario Kart with my son.
Just
that's what
cemented
happened.
In the subconscious. No, but discussions like this are helpful because it helps us think about, you know, the emotions that we experience, circumstances, the dream, even the dreams that we have, and how to interpret them rightly based on God's word.
Very much.
If today was helpful for you, write in and let us know, 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, on that same website, you can partner with us financially. Every gift that you give goes not only to building up this radio show, but countless other ministries for the gospel of Jesus. More great discussion coming your way the rest of this week. Make sure you guys tune in. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.